Welcome to this episode of Vote Like a Texan. I'm joined by County Commissioner Chad Carpenter, and he is running as commissioner for Precinct 4 in Kendall County, Texas. Chad, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited to sit down and understand a little bit more about the county commissioner role and what got you interested in running for county commissioner to begin with.
The idea of me running for commissioner, initially I was appointed after my father-in-law passed away. He was commissioner, and they had asked the family, Judge Lux had asked, hey, do you know anyone that might want to serve the remaining part of Royce's term? And after the third time being asked, I finally said, I'd love to step up. And I was actually one of the guys that had tried to get my father-in-law to run to begin with. So I served for 11 months. And then several years later, I decided, you know what, our local government rules are becoming very much impossible for small businesses like mine to really exercise our dreams in America, and that's to build our freestanding business, our freestanding office, and have something to pass down to our kids as I get older, and maybe they can take over a business for me. But I realized that those opportunities are really dwindling to the point of it's too costly. There's too much involved in the process. So I thought, you know what, I need to run. I need to be involved and see what I could do to make a difference and make things better.
And in Precinct 4, where is that? If we're in Kendall County, how would you define that?
So Precinct 4, if you go towards Comfort, I-10, basically from Johns Road in Burney all the way to the county line towards Kerrville. And if you're on Sisterdale Highway, we go all the way out to the end of the county line towards Luckenbach. Everything, if you're heading towards Luckenbach from Burney, everything to the left, where I guess south would be my precinct, everything to the right or north would be Precinct 3.
And what have you learned? You came in filling a seat, and I imagine that's a hard learning curve. Had you served a political office before doing that role?
So I've been president of the Texas Chiropractic Association. I've been president of the Comfort Chamber of Commerce. I've been president, secretary, treasurer of a lot of groups. I served on Cairo Congress, where we would take legislative, usually healthcare topics. We would take those to Washington and see what we can do to get legislation changed in order to help, our community. We wanted to put chiropractic in an all military plan, so all dependents, all military personnel would have that option to go to a chiropractor. Really, the opioid crisis is what got me turned on to some of this. When we see 100,000 a year dying in the U.S. of opioid deaths, so yeah, I've been heavily involved in the state of Texas as well as Washington D.C. trying to do legislative changes. I don't consider myself a politician. I don't like being grouped in that category with most politicians because I have reasons for doing what I'm doing, and I don't have an agenda to go up to Washington and serve at that level or even the state of Texas. I just want to make sure our home area is taken care of and my kids have something to look forward to locally.
Commissioner is an important role that is often misunderstood, and when you get into unincorporated county lands, that's really the representation in Texas that they see. And so I just wonder what that looks like, because you can be the representative for everything a little bit when you're in rural, unincorporated county land.
You know, the role of a commissioner is to have a limited amount of oversight so that our community can still experience the freedoms that our fathers have fought for. With some sense of common sense, you know, oversight, so that people aren't just getting away with anything goes. You know, we don't want just anything anywhere in the county, but we also don't want the freedoms to be taken away where you as a landowner now are stuck not to be able to do anything with your property.
Yeah, we think about private property rights a lot in Texas, and particularly in the area that we're talking about. We recently had a large developer try to come in, and you were a big part of that conversation, and they weren't able to get some permitting, and it's moved on. But it did raise awareness to a lot of people around private property rights. And then what that can mean for the growth conversation in Texas, because that developer in particular had some ambitious goals on how many houses to put out there.
Well, I mean, what this would be a question back to you. At what point are you no longer, you have a right to do so much on your property, but you also have a right to have your protection from someone doing something next to you. Does that make sense? Like a big, large 900 or 1100 homes right next to your ranch is a big deal. And it's a really big deal when you don't have the water to serve the community. And when the water wells that you have on the Comfort, like Comfort's WCID water system, they're already struggling. In fact, we had a fire a couple of years ago and their water, they ran out of water fighting one fire. So yes, I mean, this is it's a big deal. And so I don't see a big billion-dollar corporation with the same private property rights as I see these individual landowners, because the impact they have on us is way greater than anything that I would ever do to someone in a normal situation.
Yeah, being stewards of the land and the resources and then balancing that with private property is really the tug of war that we play in that conversation. But it did highlight the sensitivity of water. And then you mentioned fire. You have several volunteer fire departments that serve that part of the county. Where do we see the conversation around fire infrastructure going in the Hill Country?
That's another great question. So during the last budget cycle, we pushed for full-time firefighters. So we have 24-hour coverage and Comfort. That's something that we've never had before. We had firefighters that were on county payroll in the department, but they would work more like an 8-to-5. So once we have these new firefighters hired, we'll have someone all the time in the department that's sleeping there, working there, ready to respond if a fire should break out. Full-time, 24 hours, 7 days a week, ambulance service. Both Comfort and Bergheim have the same. And in Bernie, we have 2 full-time crews, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, it's a bigger conversation because of the growth that the southern part of the county is seeing, and there's a need for fire safety. But as I talk to Llano County representatives, they're talking about that as well. Kerr County is talking about it. And I think neighboring Hill Country counties are all very aware after the catastrophe this summer of what do those resources look like and how do we ensure they are positioned to be successful when things come up that are unexpected and out of our control in some ways.
Well, I want to make sure that we give kudos to the existing fire departments that we do have. The volunteer fire departments, we have 6 volunteer fire departments and Bernie in our county. They're awesome and they work every week. They train every week. They're working together. They do high water rescue training. So these volunteers have gone way over and beyond. And it's not the average in the state of Texas or across the U.S. The average fire departments now, I think the last time I looked at the statistics, I think 70 to 80% of all firefighters were volunteer across the U.S. And that number is going down because there's less people volunteering. There's less people interested in taking their time out of their schedule to try to do community service. And so not only do we have full-time fire coverage, we also have some of the best volunteers we could ask for, many of which are EMT certified. Some are paramedics and some are actual firefighters trained through firefighting training, like San Antonio Fire Department and different sources like that.
As you look forward and if you're reelected, what is the priority for the commissioner in your seat in this precinct, but maybe at large in Kendall County? What do you see as the priorities for us over the next?
It's a 4-year term. What do I see going forward? I see if we really want to tackle some of our current problems with the big developers coming in, it's legislative changes. Currently, we're considered in a PIGMA. Are you familiar with that?
No, that's a new word for me.
Okay, that's a new word. So the state of Texas has designated Kendall County, I believe Kerr County is in the same situation, as a PIGMA, which stands for Priority Groundwater Management Areas. You have You have groups like Cow Creek. You have another group in the Kerr County area that oversees just like Cow Creek. But they've already deemed Kendall County as a very sensitive area for water. And this has been going on since before 2000, where they saw a 50-year possible unsustainable future for people living in our area. And so how can you not take that more serious when a big developer comes in, they skip all of our county rules, they go straight to TCEQ, they apply for a public water permit, they drill a well, they pump, in this case, would have been 800,000 to a million gallons a day right out of the ground for their new development, and then they're going to pump their wastewater right into our neighboring creek, treated wastewater, but not drinkable. I think that's a pretty big priority that we need to have, and the process is right now. You do all your legislative writing a year in advance of legislation, so that's part of it. The other part is, you know, as we grow, we're going to need more firefighters. There are going to be some responsibilities that we need, not necessarily just county employees, but county employees in the right areas. And that's fire support, that's emergency management, areas like that. I don't think we need more county employees in the courthouse. I don't think that's the best use of more
staff. It's interesting. You talked about legislative writing. Can you help me understand that? And what's the role for a commissioner in legislative writing?
The role of a commissioner or the court, not just the commissioner, is to work with our state representatives. In our case, we have Ellen Troxclair, State Representative Troxclair. We have Dr. Campbell is our senator. And I also have Pete Flores, and then you have Wes Verdell in Kerr County. You work with them on getting legislation drawn up that they buy into that we don't have to beg for them to support. They're the ones actually pushing it across the finish line. And so what you have right now is you have the battery storage, but you have, like, you know, let's say 50 different legislative bills that everyone creates. Instead, we need to try to narrow those down to just a few and get those few passed for the greater good of all of us.
You threw battery storage in there. And so I want to circle back because it's a hot topic in your precinct for sure. But sure. Tell me more about what that means and why you're talking about it in legislative writing as well.
So currently, the battery storage developments have developed so fast that there's really no real regulations locally overseeing permitting. They go to the, in this case, in Kendall County, they go to LCRA. They ask, okay, we have a site we'd like to put a battery storage development on. It's right next to one of your substations. Can you do an interconnectivity study to find out how much power we can actually buy back and sell back and forth? How much can the grid handle in this one particular area? They come back and they do an interconnectivity agreement. They do a study. The study usually says we can handle, let's say, 500 megawatts of power at this one substation, which is a lot. There's no TCEQ permitting. There's nothing. There's no permits they have to draw from anyone. They just go to the local county government and they get a development agreement or they get development permits. And at that moment, that's when you have fire code applied. That's when you have, any type of water detention requirements. But honestly, there's no way of just saying, we don't want you here. That we don't have that legal authority to just say, we don't want you here. We can't take in consideration of the neighboring schools around us. We can't take a consideration of contamination of our aquifers or even the Guadalupe River that's just less than a mile, away. We just don't have a lot of authority given to us directly from the state of Texas. And there's a balance of power, and that's why there's a balance of power. But we need some regulations on this. There's 1,000 of these developments coming to Texas right now. 1,000.
And they are just going to substations across the state and might be in your county, might be in the neighboring county. You don't know.
We don't know. We've identified the areas where they could go. And that's why we formed that 391 commission. And we're pushing back with Kerr County and Gillespie County on this specific topic. But honestly, the battery storage doesn't fix our problem. Batteries don't create power. They buy power off the grid, they store it, and when there's a need, they release it back to the grid. So yes, there's a benefit to any type of power that's being given back to the grid at a time of need. I just don't think they're stable enough to be putting all this money into it. And really the biggest issue is our federal tax dollars subsidizing these companies. And I have a real problem with foreign companies that we have coming into Kendall County. There's two of them. Both of them are owned by, one's South Korea and one's Norwegian. And we're going to give them 30 to 50% tax credit from our federal tax dollars. And I just don't agree with that. I think we're selling out our country. You say vote like a Texan, right? Like, let's get back to voting like Americans when it comes to protecting our country.
What does that look like when we talk about budgets and commissioners' cooperation interlocally to make sure that we're good stewards to those resources?
It's important that we have a relationship with our local cities, because our counties, the citizens are still part of the county. And in the situation for Bernie, for instance, we have a road problem. We have a serious traffic problem that needs to be fixed, right? We've put $1 million towards that Herf Road intersection, Herf and 46. And hopefully that $1 million is a plant that'll help get TxDOT to actually speed up the process on their fix of that intersection and give county residents relief. But it's important that when our local or our state legislators call us, that we answer the phone and we work with them closely. They're our best asset when we need something from the state of Texas.
What's your call to voters in Kendall County as they're thinking about their primary votes? And I really want to prioritize, how do we get people to come out to that primary vote? Because we have primary, then we'll have some runoffs, and then we get to the general election. And I think people are often confused on how did we get to the general election? There were six people running a couple months ago, but they got to understand the process, and we need that primary voting to come out and really decide who it is it's going to go to the vote in November.
For one, I've had people from other parts of the county, like Cordillera, say, "Don't worry, I've got your back. I'll vote for you." And I'm like, "Thank you, appreciate it." And obviously, they don't understand how this works. But what I would say is, as far as the stuff I've been doing, there probably hasn't been a more pro-business commissioner, in my opinion. That's through my opinion, fighting for small businesses than I have been for years. And that means from supporting, you know, the rights of a small business to develop on a small piece of property, even though we have a 10-acre density. But you have to use your judgment wisely, and I've been proven to do what I say I'm going to do. And I had a vote today. It was 4-1. I was the only one. Actually, I made a motion on one item, didn't even get a second. And it was a perfectly common sense topic. And so I think you want someone elected in all these positions, and I mean across the country, that's not afraid to stand on their own, even if that's what it takes, because they've got enough fortitude to be okay, you know. At least I know where, and people know where I stand on some of these topics.
Well, I do appreciate that. You're vocal, you're transparent, and people can understand where you're going to be on most topics. But then to the call, Commissioner's Court is open to the public. It's a great opportunity. It's recorded and available online as well. It's a great opportunity to come in and see what the business of the county looks like. And it does impact small business. It does impact developers and developments, and your neighbors, your friends, your ranchers. We're all impacted by decisions made in Commissioner's Court every other week. So if you haven't been to a meeting, I'd encourage you to come out and at least see how the business operates.
And if you don't come to one of our Commissioner's Court meetings, come to one of my town hall meetings. They can ask me directly, you know, why didn't this certain situation, why didn't we get this passed? And I can have an open dialogue with them. But I try to be very transparent, and I try to be very public and direct. And so if you call me, I usually meet you on site with whatever you're trying to do. That way I can see for myself the layout, the land, that kind of stuff. But really get out the vote. You just got to show that you really care about your community. And I think a lot of people just get complacent and they just get comfortable thinking everything is fine around them when it's sometimes it is fine around them, sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But thank you, Justin, for doing these podcasts.
And it's been really rewarding to talk to candidates across the state and to hear a lot of consistency in the concerns and what voters are talking about, fire, water, development, growth. All of those are hot topics, but it does come back to who are the people in those seats? How do we get to know them?
Sure.
And how do we support them? Regardless of party, they're representing you and once they're elected. And I just remind people that the primary vote is where you get to, your voice is heard at the fullest when you come out on March 3rd.
That's true.
I'll look forward to the next conversation. And yes, Commissioner Carpenter, it's been a real pleasure to visit with you. Thank you for taking on some tough topics and for representing Precinct 4 in Kendall County so well.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Vote Like a Texan. Please remember to like and subscribe and check out votelikeatexan.com.